Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And I am your teacher, Deacon Oliver Welch, and we'll be listening and answering questions to First Chronicles. For access to the questions, go to our website, rfcm.org, and click on the Bible question. On your phone or on your computer, excuse me. to answer the questions, you need to press 1, and you'll be in the hostess queue to answer the questions after the reading process. Make sure that you keep your volume low on your phone and limit the background noises to a real low volume, or none at all. Matter of fact, if you need to probably mute your phone so you won't have anything disturbing you, and when you need to answer a question, just unmute it, and you can answer a question or comment on any of the questions that you would like to discuss. Okay. Before we get started in everything, I'd like to just give you an outlook of what the book of Chronicles, that's 1 and 2, is all about. It explains the genealogy of Israel and the story of Jerusalem. And later on in our questions and everything, I have a question asked and everything, so keep this on your mind. Jerusalem, is that the capital or is it the holy city? And God's purpose for Chronicles, there are 4 events that takes its place in Book 1 and 2 of the Chronicles. The first event is from Adam to David. Number 2 is David's reign. Number 3 is Solomon's reign. And number 4 is from Jerusalem to Babylon. So both books explains themselves of all these events that I just mentioned in both books of Chronicles. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to embrace your word and to help us receive your word. Holy Spirit, help us to see ourselves as they were back in the day and be with us as we serve you. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to turn it over to our pastor. Pastor, take it away, and we will see you on the other side to answer these questions. Go ahead, Pastor.
Malalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, 2 Kings 25, the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, the Kittites, and the Rodanites. The sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sapta, Ramah, and Saptica. The sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on earth. Egypt was the father of the Luddites, Anamites, Lahabites, Nephthahites, Pethrusites, Caslahites, from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorites. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. The sons of Shem, Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshach. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, and Shelah the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Almadad, Sheleth, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were sons of Joktan, Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, that is, Abraham. The sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. These were their descendants, Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Nefish, and Kedema. These were the sons of Ishmael. The sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan, Sheba, and Dedan. The sons of Midian, Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldah. All these were the descendants of Keturah. Abraham was the father of Isaac, the sons of Isaac, Esau, and Israel. The sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. The sons of Eliphaz, Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz, by Timnah, Amalek. The sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah. The sons of Seir, Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. The sons of Lotan, Horai, and Homam. Timnah was Lotan's sister. The sons of Shobal, Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The sons of Zibeon, Aiah, and Anah. The son of Anah, Dishan. The sons of Dishan, Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Keran. The sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zophan, and Achan. The sons of Dishan, Uz, and Aran. These were the kings who reigned in Edom before any Israelite king reigned. Bela, son of Beor, whose city was named Dinhabah. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah, from Bozrah, succeeded him as king. When Jobab died, Husham, from the land of the Temanites, succeeded him as king. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, succeeded him as king. His city was named Avith. When Hadad died, Samla from Masreka succeeded him as king. When Samla died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, succeeded him as king. When Baal-Hanan died, Hadad succeeded him as king. His city was named Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mizahab. Hadad also died. The chiefs of Edom were Timnah, Alva, Japheth, Ohalibama, Elah, Pinan, Kenaz, Teman, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom. 1 Chronicles 2. These were the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The sons of Judah: Er, Onan, and Shelah. These three were born to him by a Canaanite woman, the daughter of Shua. Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Judah's daughter-in-law, Tamar, bore Perez and Zerah to Judah. He had five sons in all: the sons of Perez, Hezron, and Hamul; the sons of Zerah, Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Calcol, and Dardah, five in all; the son of Carmi, Achar, who brought trouble on Israel by violating the ban on taking devoted things; the son of Ethan, Azariah. The sons born to Hezron were Jeremiel, Ram, and Caleb. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, the leader of the people of Judah. Nashon was the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of Eliab, his firstborn. The second son was Abinadab, the third Shemaiah, the fourth Nethanel, the fifth Radai, the sixth Ozam, and the seventh David. Their sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail. Zeruiah's three sons were Abishai, Joab, and Azahel. Abigail was the mother of Amasa, whose father was Jether the Ishmaelite. Caleb, the son of Hezron, had children by his wife Azubah and by Jerioth. These were her sons, Jesha, Shobab, and Ardan. When Azubah died, Caleb married Ephrath, who bore him Hur. Hur was the father of Uri, and Uri the father of Bezalel. Later, Hezron, when he was 60 years old, married the daughter of Machir, the father of Gilead. He made love to her, and she bore him Segub. Segub was the father of Jair, who controlled 23 towns in Gilead. But Geshur and Aram captured Havoth Jair, as well as Kenath, with its surrounding settlements, 60 towns. All these were descendants of Machir, the father of Gilead. After Hezron died in Caleb Ephrathah, Abijah, the wife of Hezron, bore him Asher, the father of Tekoa. The sons of Jeremiel, the firstborn of Hezron, Ram, his firstborn, Buna, Oren, Ozem, and Ahijah. Jeremiel had another wife, whose name was Adarah. She was the mother of Onam. The sons of Ram, the firstborn of Jeremiel, Maaz, Jamin, and Aker. The sons of Onam, Shammai and Jadah. The sons of Shammai, Nadab, and Abishur. Abishur's wife was named Abihail, who bore him Aban and Melid. The sons of Nadab, Seled and Apaim. Seled died without children. The son of Apaim, Ishai, who was the father of Shishan. Shishan was the father of Ali. The sons of Jada, Shammai's brother, Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children. The sons of Jonathan, Peleth and Zaza. These were the descendants of Jeremiel. Sheshan had no sons, only daughters. He had an Egyptian servant named Jarha. Sheshan gave his daughter in marriage to the servant Jarha, and she bore him Attai. Attai was the father of Nathan. Nathan the father of Zabad. Zabad the father of Ephlal. Ephlal the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jehu. Jehu the father of Azariah. Azariah the father of Helez. Helez the father of Eleasa. Eleasa the father of Sismai. Sismai the father of Shalom. Shalom the father of Jechemiah. And Jechemiah the father of Elishama. The sons of Caleb, the brother of Jeremiel, Misha his firstborn, who was the father of Ziph, and his son Marisha, who was the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron, Korah, Tapua, Rechem, and Shema. Shema was the father of Raham, and Raham the father of Jorkiam. Rechem was the father of Shammai. The son of Shammai was Maon, and Maon was the father of Beth-Zur. Caleb's concubine, Ephah, was the mother of Haran, Moza, and Gazez. Haran was the father of Gazez. The sons of Jadai, Regem, Jotham, Geshem, Pelet, Ephah, and Shaph. Caleb's concubine, Makah, was the mother of Sheber and Tirhana. She also gave birth to Shaph, the father of Madmana, and to Sheva, the father of Machbana and Gibeah. Caleb's daughter was Aksah. These were the descendants of Caleb. The sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, Shobal, the father of Kiriath-Jerim, Salma, the father of Bethlehem, and Hareph, the father of Beth-Gader. The descendants of Shobal, the father of Kiriath-Jerim, were Haroeh, half the Manahathites, and the clans of Kiriath-Jerim, the Ithrites, Puthites, Shumathites, and Mishraites. From these descended the Zorathites and the Eshtoalites. The descendants of Salma, Bethlehem, the Netophathites, Atroth Beth Joab, half the Manahathites, the Zorites, and the clans of scribes who lived at Jabez, the Terathites, Shimeathites, and Succothites. These are the Kenites who came from Hamath, the father of the Rechabites. 1 Chronicles 3. These are the sons of David born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon. the son of Ahinoam of Jezreel, the second Daniel, the son of Abigail of Carmel, the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith, the fifth Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth Ithream by his wife Eglah. These six were born to David in Hebron, where he reigned 7 years and 6 months. David reigned in Jerusalem 33 years, and these were the children born to him there: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. These four were by Bathsheba, daughter of Amuel. There were also Ibhar, Elishua, Eliphelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliadad, and Eliphelet, nine in all. All these were the sons of David, besides his sons by his concubines, and Tamar was their sister. Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abijah his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Jehoram his son, Ahaziah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son. The sons of Josiah: Johanan the firstborn, Jehoiakim the second son, Zedekiah the third, Shalom the fourth. The successors of Jehoiakim: Jehoiachin his son, and Zedekiah. The descendants of Jehoiachin the captive: Shealtiel his son, Malkaram, Pedaiah, Shenazar, Jechemiah, Hoshama, and Nedabiah. The sons of Pedaiah: Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel: Meshullam and Hananiah. Shelomith was their sister. There were also five others: Hashabah, Ohel, Berechiah, Hasadiah, and Jushab Hesed. The descendants of Hananiah: Pelatiah and Jeshaiah, and the sons of Rephaiah, of Arnan, of Obadiah, and of Shechaniah. The descendants of Shechaniah: Shemaiah and his sons, Hattush, Igal, Beriah, Neriah, and Shaphat, six in all. The sons of Neriah: Elinoi, Hizkiah, and Azrakam, three in all. The sons of Elinoi: Hodaviah, Eliashib, Pelaiah, Akub, Johanan, Delaiah, and Anani, seven in all. 1 Chronicles 4. The descendants of Judah: Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Reaiah, son of Shobal, was the father of Jahath, and Jahath the father of Ahumai and Lahad. These were the clans of the Zorathites. These were the sons of Etam: Jezreel, Ishma, and Idbash. Their sister was named Hazelpanai. Penuel was the father of Gedor, and Ezer the father of Husha. These were the descendants of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, and father of Bethlehem. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Narah. Narah bore him Ahuzam, Hefer, Temani, and Hehashtari. These were the descendants of Narah. The sons of Hela: Zareth, Zohar, Ethnan, and Kaz, who was the father of Anub and Hazobabah, and of the clans of Aharhel, son of Haram. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Caleb, Shuha's brother, was the father of Mehir, who was the father of Eshtam. Eshtam was the father of Beth Rapha, Basea, and Tehana, the father of Ur Nahash. These were the men of Rekah. The sons of Kenaz: Othniel and Saraiah. The sons of Othniel: Hathath and Meonathai. Meonathai was the father of Ophrah. Saraiah was the father of Joab, the father of Jeharashim. It was called this because its people were skilled workers. The sons of Caleb, son of Jephunneh: Iru, Elah, and Nam. The son of Elah: Kenaz. The sons of Jehalalel: Ziph, Ziphah, Teriah, and Asarel. The sons of Ezra: Jether, Mered, Epher, and Jalon. One of Mered's wives gave birth to Miriam, Shammai, and Ishba, the father of Eshtemoa. His wife from the tribe of Judah gave birth to Jared, the father of Gedor, Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zanoah. These were the children of Pharaoh's daughter, Bithia, whom Mered had married. The sons of Hodiah's wife, the sister of Naham, the father of Kila, the Garmite, and Eshtemoa, the Maacathite. The sons of Shimon, Amnon, Rinah, Ben-Hanan, and Talon. The descendants of Ishi, Zoheth, and Ben-Zoheth. The sons of Shelah, son of Judah, Er, the father of Lekah, Lada, the father of Marisha, and the clans of the linen workers at Beth-Ashbea, Jokim, the men of Kezubah, and Joash, and Seraph, who ruled in Moab and Jeshabai-Lehem. These records are from ancient times. They were the potters who lived at Netaim and Gedera. They stayed there and worked for the king. The descendants of Simeon, Nemuel, Jamin, Jarib, Zerah, and Shaul. Shalom was Shaul's son, Mibsam his son, and Mishma his son. The descendants of Mishma, Hamuel his son, Zakur his son, Shimei his son. Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brothers did not have many children, so their entire clan did not become as numerous as the people of Judah. They lived in Beersheba, Molada, Hazor, Shual, Bilha, Ezem, Tolad, Bethuel, Hormah, Ziklag, Beth Markabath, Hazor Susim, Beth Birai, and Sheraim. These were their towns until the reign of David. Their surrounding villages were Etam, Ain, Rimmon, Token, and Ashan, 5 towns, and all the villages around these towns as far as Baalath. These were their settlements, and they kept a genealogical record. Meshabab, Jamlech, Josha, son of Amaziah, Joel, Jehu, son of Joshabah, the son of Saraiah, the son of Asiel, also Elionai, Jacobah, Jeshahiah, Asahiah, Adiel, Jeshemiel, Benaiah, and Ziza, son of Shiphai, the son of Elon, the son of Jediah, the son of Shimri, the son of Shemaiah. The men listed above by name were leaders of their clans. Their families increased greatly, and they went to the outskirts of Gedor, to the east of the valley, in search of pasture for their flocks. They found rich, good pasture, and the land was spacious, peaceful, and quiet. Some Hamites had lived there formerly. The men whose names were listed came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They attacked the Hamites in their dwellings, and also the Meunites, who were there, and completely destroyed them, as is evident to this day. Then they settled in their place, because there was pasture for their flocks, and 500 of these Simeonites, led by Pelatiah, Neraiah, Rephaiah, and Uziel, the sons of Ishi, invaded the hill country of Seir. They killed the remaining Amalekites who had escaped, and they have lived there to this day. 1 Chronicles 5. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was the firstborn, but when he defiled his father's marriage bed, his rights as firstborn were given to the sons of Joseph, son of Israel, so he could not be listed in the genealogical record in accordance with his birthright. And though Judah was the strongest of his brothers and a ruler came from him, the rights of the firstborn belonged to Joseph. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The descendants of Joel, Shemaiah his son, Gog his son, Shimei his son, Micah his son, Reaiah his son, Baal his son, and Bera his son, whom Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, took into exile. Bera was a leader of the Reubenites. Their relatives by clans, listed according to their genealogical records. Jael, the chief, Zechariah, and Bela, son of Azaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel. They settled in the area from Aroer to Nebo and Baal-Meon. To the east, they occupied the land up to the edge of the desert that extends to the Euphrates River, because their livestock had increased in Gilead. During Saul's reign, they waged war against the Hagrites, who were defeated at their hands. They occupied the dwellings of the Hagrites throughout the entire region east of Gilead. The Gadites lived next to them, in Bashan, as far as Salaka. Joel was the chief, Shaphan the second, then Janai and Shaphat in Bashan. Their relatives by families were Michael, Meshullam, Sheba, Jorai, Jachan, Ziah, and Eber, seven in all. These were the sons of Abihail, son of Hurai, the son of Jeroah, the son of Gilead, the son of Michael, the son of Jesheshai, the son of Jado, the son of Buz. Ahi, son of Abdiel, the son of Gunai, was head of their family. The Gadites lived in Gilead, in Bashan, and its outlying villages, and in all the pasture lands of Sharon as far as they extended. All these were entered in the genealogical records during the reigns of Jothan, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, king of Israel. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had 44,760 men ready for military service, able-bodied men who could handle shield and sword, who could use a bow, and who were trained for battle. They waged war against the Hagrites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab. They were helped in fighting them, and God delivered the Hagrites and all their allies into their hands because they cried out to him during the battle. He answered their prayers because they trusted in him. They seized the livestock of the Hagrites, 50,000 camels, 250,000 sheep, and 2,000 donkeys. They also took 100,000 people captive, and many others fell slain, because the battle was God's, and they occupied the land until the exile. The people of the half-tribe of Manasseh were numerous. They settled in the land from Bashan to Baal Hermon, that is, to Senir, Mount Hermon. These were the heads of their families: Epher, Ishai, Eliel, Azriel, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jadiel. They were brave warriors, famous men, and heads of their families. But they were unfaithful to the God of their ancestors and prostituted themselves to the gods of the peoples of the land whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, who took the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into exile. He took them to Halah, Habor, Harah, and the river of Gozan, where they are to this day. 1 Chronicles 6. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The children of Amram, Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. The sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar was the father of Phinehas, Phinehas the father of Abishua, Abishua the father of Bukai, Bukai the father of Uzai, Uzai the father of Zerahiah, Zerahiah the father of Mariath, Mariath the father of Amariah, Amariah the father of Ahitub, Ahitub the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Ahimaaz, Ahimaaz the father of Azariah, Azariah the father of Johanan, Johanan the father of Azariah. It was he who served as priest in the temple Solomon built in Jerusalem. Azariah the father of Amariah, Amariah the father of Ahitub, Ahitub the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Shalom, Shalom the father of Hilkiah, Hilkiah the father of Azariah, Azariah the father of Seraiah, and Seraiah the father of Jozadak. Jozadak was deported when the Lord sent Judah and Jerusalem into exile by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The sons of Merari, Mali, and Mushai. These are the clans of the Levites listed according to their fathers. Of Gershon, Libni his son, Jahath his son, Zimmah his son, Joah his son, Iddo his son, Zerah his son, and Jeatharai his son. The descendants of Kohath, Aminadab his son, Korah his son, Asa his son, Elkanah his son, Ebiasaph his son, Asa his son, Tehath his son, Uriel his son, Uzziah his son, and Shaul his son. The descendants of Elkanah, Amasai, Ahimoth, Elkanah his son, Zophai his son, Nahath his son, Eliab his son, Jeroham his son, Elkanah his son, and Samuel his son. The sons of Samuel, Joel the firstborn, and Abijah the second son. The descendants of Merari, Mali, Libni his son, Shimei his son, Uzzah his son, Shemaiah his son, Haggiah his son, and Asaiah his son. These are the men David put in charge of the music in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest there. They ministered with music before the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, until Solomon built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. They performed their duties according to the regulations laid down for them. Here are the men who served together with their sons. From the Kohathites, Heman the musician, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zuf, the son of Elkanah, the son of Mahath, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tehath, the son of Asher, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Heman's associate Asaph, who served at his right hand. Asaph, son of Berechiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Michael, the son of Besaiah, the son of Malchijah, the son of Ithni, the son of Zerah, the son of Adiah, the son of Ethan, the son of Zimmah, the son of Shimei, the son of Jehath, the son of Gershon, the son of Levi, and from their associates, the Merarites, at his left hand, Ethan, son of Kishai, the son of Abdi, the son of Malak, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Amaziah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Amzai, the son of Bani, the son of Shemer, the son of Mali, the son of Mushai, the son of Merari, the son of Levi. Their fellow Levites were assigned to all the other duties of the tabernacle, the house of God. But Aaron and his descendants were the ones who presented offerings on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense in connection with all that was done in the most holy place, making atonement for Israel in accordance with all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. These were the descendants of Aaron: Eleazar his son, Phinehas his son, Abishua his son, Bukai his son, Uzziah his son, Zerahiah his son, Mariah his son, Amariah his son, Ahitub his son, Zadok his son, and Ahimaaz his son. These were the locations of their settlements allotted as their territory. They were assigned to the descendants of Aaron, who were from the Kohathite clans, because the first lot was for them. They were given Hebron and Judah with its surrounding pasture lands, but the fields and villages around the city were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So the descendants of Aaron were given Hebron, a city of refuge, and Libna, Jatir, Eshtemua, Hilen, Debir, Ashan, Jutah, and Beth Shemesh, together with their pasture lands. And from the tribe of Benjamin they were given Gibeon, Gibba, Alameth, and Anathoth, together with their pasture lands. The total number of towns distributed among the Kohathite clans came to 13. The rest of Kohath's descendants were allotted 10 towns from the clans of half the tribe of Manasseh. The descendants of Gershon, clan by clan, were allotted 13 towns from the tribes of Issachar, Asher, and Naphtali, and from the part of the tribe of Manasseh that is in Bashan. The descendants of Merari, clan by clan, were allotted 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the Israelites gave the Levites these towns and their pasture lands. From the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin, they allotted the previously named towns. Some of the Kohathite clans were given as their territory towns from the tribe of Ephraim. In the hill country of Ephraim, they were given Shechem, a city of refuge, and Gezer, Jokneam, Beth Horon, Ajalon, and Gath Rimmon, together with their pasture lands. And from half the tribe of Manasseh, the Israelites gave Aner and Bileam, together with their pasture lands, to the rest of the Kohathite clans. The Gershonites received the following. From the clan of the half-tribe of Manasseh, they received Golan in Bashan and also Ashtaroth, together with their pasture lands. From the tribe of Issachar, they received Kadesh, Dabarath, Ramoth, and Anem, together with their pasture lands. From the tribe of Asher, they received Mashal, Abdon, Hukok, and Rehob, together with their pasture lands. And from the tribe of Naphtali, they received Kadesh in Galilee, Hammon, and Kiriathaim, together with their pasture lands. The Merarites, the rest of the Levites, received the following. From the tribe of Zebulun, they received Jokneam, Karta, Rimmonon, and Tabor, together with their pasture lands. From the tribe of Reuben, across the Jordan, east of Jericho, they received Bezer in the wilderness, Jazaz, Kedemoth, and Mephath, together with their pasture lands. And from the tribe of Gad, they received Ramoth in Gilead, Mahanaim, Heshbon, and Jazer, together with their pasture lands. 1 Chronicles 7. The sons of Issachar.
And yes, that concludes the reading portion of the scriptures from 1 to 6. Here comes the good part. Our question. Starting with question number 1. Who were the descendants of Adam and the sons of whom?
Okay, I'll answer that one. I have chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
That's what I have.
Okay.
All right.
Let me get my pages right here. Okay. Hold on a minute. I wasn't prepared to answer this question because then nobody said anything.
We got another
one. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought she had said it.
That's why I ain't saying that.
Huh?
I thought you had said it.
I did. I just didn't. I don't have my Bible turned to the page.
Well, okay, well, I got you then.
Okay, go ahead, Ed.
All right. And it reads, you said 1 through 4?
Yes.
Okay, the descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, and Jared, and Enoch. Well, it's Enosh and Enoch, my bad. Okay, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Descendants of, oh, that was it. That's it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Hello, family out there. Hey, good to hear your voice.
Yes, peace and love to everybody, and hello to everyone.
Hello.
Hello. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Thank you for that, my wife. Okay. Question number 2. What family was Cush from, and who was Nimrod and his title?
Chapter 1, 8 to 10.
Go ahead, Mother. Good evening to you.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, yes.
The descendants of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The descendants of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabtika. The descendants of Rehma were Sheba and Dedan. Cush was also the descendant of Nimrod, who was the first heroic warrior on earth.
Amen. Thank you, Mother.
Amen.
Mother, you did a good job saying them names. I know that.
Oh, thank you. All right. Got more to go.
Yes, we do. Question number three. Who was from Abraham and his son?
Okay. I had chapter 1, and I had verses 28 through 37.
Go ahead, my man. Would you?
Okay, thank you.
Give me the answer to that.
The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogical records. The sons of Ishmael were Nebaioth, the oldest, Kedar, Abiel, Mithsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetar, Nafish, Kedemah. These were the sons of Ishmael. The sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Iskba, and Shah. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of the Midian were Ephah, Hanok, Abida, and Eldah. All these were descendants of Abraham through the concubine Keturah. Descendants of Isaac, Abraham was the father of Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. The descendants of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz, and Amalek, who was born to Timnah. The descendants of Reuel were Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Mizah. And I'm finished. Thank you.
A warm hand of applause on that one.
Yeah. Good name.
You said that like a natural man.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I appreciate all that, but no, I'm lost too.
You ain't by
you,
yourself, brother. Man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Number four. Let me see if you guys remember your history in Bible study class.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we go. Number four says, were these the sons of Israel or were they tribes?
Well, all the sons of Israel. Wait a minute.
You have to find me a scripture.
These were, they turn out to be tribes. His sons turn out to be tribes.
Yep.
Yeah, they were tribes.
Yeah, it says the sons of Israel were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher.
And what scripture is that from?
That's 2:1.
Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I think.
1 and 2.
Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, they turn out to be the tribes anyway.
Okay. All right. All right. Moving right along. Question number 5. Who are my descendants?
Oh, number 7? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. 7 only, isn't it?
Chapter 2, verse 7?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A descendant of Zimri was Achan, who brought disaster on Israel by taking plunder that had been set apart for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Mother, would you read the footnote on that too, please, for me?
Okay. the plunder referred to in this verse was taken by Achan in direct disobedience to God's instructions following the destruction of Jericho. His greed led to the defeat of Israel at Ai and the death of Achan and his entire family. So see Joshua 7.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, remember that very well. Are there any more comments or anybody would like to enlighten themselves with what they feel so far about so far the questions in Chronicles?
Yeah, I have one question. I hope this sounds right. My question is, all these names that we're getting are descendants of, I mean, they're from the tribe of Judah, basically?
No.
No? Okay.
You'd have to go back to, like Oliver said in the very beginning, it's a genealogy that starts from Adam. And like I've said a million times, million and one now, there's over 50 of these in the Bible. Whenever God gets ready to do something new, and as you know, when we finished Kings, they were in captivity. So what Chronicles is doing is going back and explaining how we got here. And then
okay.
Once we leave here, then the Lord will, you know, of course we cross over into the intertestamental period. That's why he's going back and summing up. So these people, you would have to go to chapter 9, or really chapter 10. That's where you got the table of nations, okay? That's where God names, and everybody comes from Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Yeah, right.
And then all of these clans come under them. Now, the clan that we're concerned about is the ones that come from Shem, because that's where you get your tribe of Judah from. That's where the question, Lolo answered that first question right about are these the sons or is this talking about Israel? That was a good trick question. It's talking about his sons who later became the nation, but the question was it's talking about his sons. So what the Lord did with the Table of Nations is he named everybody and told you what part of the world they would inhabit or inhabited. We know Japheth, that's Europe, right? And we know that
okay.
Ham is mostly Africa and the Middle East. And we know that Shem is a part also of the Middle East and mostly Middle East. Okay, and there's where you get down to Terah, you get to Abraham and Nahor, and then you get Abraham separated from them. And then, of course, you get Isaac, then you get... then you get Jacob, then you get Joseph, and it just goes on. So it gets narrowed down to the tribe of Judah, but it doesn't really begin like that. But what the Lord is doing is naming everybody, and a lot of information that we didn't get in 1st and 2nd Kings, because it wasn't about that, it was about the kings and the prophets
right.
who prophesied during the times of the kings, okay? But this
okay.
is a summing up of everything God has done from Genesis, just like Oliver said in the very beginning, everything the Lord has done from Genesis all the way up to the carrying away in Babylon. Because you heard Nebuchadnezzar mention Zedekiah, Jeconiah, and his brethren, all of them.
Right.
So it went all the way up to that time. So 1 Chronicles is really going to deal with David. And then Second Chronicles is going to take us, you know. But we're going to get some stuff that we didn't know before. We find out that they fought with some people and took their land. Well, we didn't know that before. And we never heard of Jabez. Well, and he existed during that time. So, but we didn't hear of him in the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things that we didn't get there, we will get here. But always pay attention to these things seem boring and having no point at all, but trust me, they are big time with the Lord. And it's amazing
and
how he does that. He sums up everything.
I know when we had numbers, I didn't know how numbers really meant nothing until we actually broke it down going through it. I think that was Sister Seabrooks mainly who broke it
mm-hmm.
down for us. Yeah.
No, that was Crystal yeah, with numbers. That was Cole had not Joshua, but Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm. What did we get today?
Who was inspired?
Was that Crystal?
Yeah,
whoever
Crystal
it was,
had,
they were very informative. They were very informative. I could say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you get Crystal, you get Cat, you get Lolo, you go in footnotes. Okay, you
yes.
don't get it all.
Oh, yeah.
They ain't
yes.
leaving nothing
yes.
on the table. They done sat in the class with Janice too much. Now they don't leave nothing on the table. Now Oliver, like, can you read that footnote for me, my brother? See, so hey, it's just a deep class, I'm telling you.
Yes.
Thank you,
okay.
Pat, for that information and everything. It's almost like we like going back, like you said, Pastor, catching up of what was missed to what's going to lead us to what Chronicles are really explaining about the tribes and everything and how they represent what's needed for us to learn how God used these people in the Bible.
Amen. How he brought us Jesus, that's a good way to say it. The whole Bible,
okay.
the whole Old Testament is how God brought us Jesus. And what happened along the way from Genesis 3:15 up until 435 B.C. or B.C.E. before the Common Era, whatever, however you like to say it. Yeah, but, yeah, and then those 400 silent years.
Right.
That, you know, those they call them silent, but they were anything but silent. God was just rearranging the stage for what would come. When John the Baptist said, came in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. That voice of one crying in the wilderness, that was a 400-year period. That's how we know it was around 435 when the Lord said, okay, I will talk to you guys again when Jesus get here.
Okay.
All right. Question number 6. What were Jotham's father's name and his siblings?
Number 6. I have chapter 2, verse 47. Did I got that right? Wait a minute. Let me see. Hold on. Make sure I'm on the right question.
You said 2 and 47.
I think that's what, yeah, that's what I said, but I'm trying to make sure.
Well,
yeah,
that
can't
that
one's
no,
that's
not
right.
Yeah. No, That's not it. Don't take me on. That's not it.
Okay, it's chapter 3, verse 10.
Chapter 3.
What number are you guys on?
The descendants of Solomon.
The descendants of Solomon were Rehoboam.
Oh, number 8.
Asa, Jehoshaphat.
I got 10 to 15.
That's the wrong question.
We're on number six.
That's the one I'm reading.
That should have been the answer for number 8.
Right.
No, it says, I know, but I got
number 8,
I have 3, 10 through 14.
10 through 15, I got 15. Okay.
Yeah.
So we
have teacher, help us.
Okay, I was tired that night.
You know, I thought it was a typo, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't say nothing.
Okay.
So, I don't know then.
Reese, go ahead and read that. The teacher, you know, sometimes teacher doesn't try to stumble, but...
What was the question? That. What's the question, though?
The question is, what was Jotham's father's name and his sibling?
Right. I read this, though, and I got to
I thought it was.
I don't have anything.
I thought it was chapter 2, verses 27. That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 27?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, what does that say? Read it.
Wait a minute. I got to go back because I'm on my tablet.
Oh, okay.
It says. Now, y'all don't get me with these names, okay?
Okay.
You'll be all right.
We all have problems with them, girl. Go on and read.
And then I don't think that's the right answer either. The sons of Ram, the
Because the question,
sons.
To be honest, I didn't have an answer. I looked on Oliver's face because I couldn't find the answer.
I really think I found the wrong one, too.
Let me read.
June 27, 47.
Okay.
This might be an administrative error.
It was. Instead of were, it should have said what was.
Okay.
What?
Oh.
Okay, so Jenny,
47. Yeah,
47
would have
been the answer.
Okay.
What did y'all say? 47?
47.
Yeah. Chapter
2,
verse
47. That was my first answer.
We said it was a typo, so you changed your, I thought it was the other answer, and you said it was 47. And I said,
right.
Yeah, because I couldn't find that name nowhere. I was all over the place.
Hey, Reese, you know it's going to be me and you was going to be the ones, right?
Excuse me. I told y'all
47. Mr. Oliver was
okay.
Right.
That's true. And Mother Miller, right. So we're all on the same team. Okay.
I'm telling you, I left it blank. And then I looked on Oliver's paper trying to cheat. and he had the wrong answer.
Hey, believe me, family, it was a struggle to trying to, you know, construct questions.
Define some questions.
Right.
Right. That's what the names.
I was reading that too.
Right.
I'm like, how do you find these questions?
Right.
So we all agree it's 47.
47.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much, family.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, I was tired. Anyway, question number 7. What six sons were born to David in Hebron?
Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
All right.
Can you read that for me?
These are the sons of David who were born in Hebron. The oldest was Amnon, whose mother was Anonia from Jezreel. The second was Daniel, whose mother was Abigail from Carmel. The third was Absalom, whose mother was Maacah, the daughter of Tamlah, the king of Gershon. The fourth was Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth was
Zephatiah,
whose mother was Abital. The sixth
mm-hmm.
was Istrin,
mm-hmm.
whose mother was Alga. David's wife. The six sons were born to David in Hebron, where he reigned 7.5 years. Then David reigned another 33 years in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, how many wives did David have for six children? They all was different. Different mothers for sons and everything.
You know, David was busy.
He was real busy. Now, Pastor, I'd like to know, at that time, was it still against God's principles as far as a man having that many wives?
Well, you know, that question was asked one time during a Christian history class I was in. What you call a Bible college. Anyway, the question was asked, when did man finally figure out that God wanted us to be one-on-one and get rid of, like, really polygamy? When
mm-hmm.
did they get to the place where they just had one? Well, you know, because even when you get to the 1600s mostly, they were still doing it. The kings of Europe. Remember Henry VIII, the one who got into it with Anne Boleyn, and then, well, that was his girlfriend, but he got rid of Catherine because she couldn't handle kids, and then Anne Boleyn gave him a girl, he chopped her head off. So they were still doing that up until America. And then later on, Europe caught on. But still on Earth today, there are places where you can have as many wives as you can afford. Now, the thought behind it was, why did they do that? I mean, didn't they know what adultery was? Well, yes, they did. Adultery is what David did. He slept with another man's wife.
Right.
If he slept with a single woman, she just became his concubine. And that was accepted in the culture. And
oh.
so it never ended under Israel. It never ended. Until like when they got banished in AD 70 to the four corners of the globe. But other than that, it never ended. It was America who finally kind of like straightened it out until the Mormons came. And then they brought the old European ways with them. A man can have as many wives as he wants to. And then from state to state in America, it was illegal to commit adultery. Of course, that's out of the window now, but that's the way it was early on here in America. So the America is where it stopped. So in Jesus' day, they were doing the same thing. Their understanding of adultery was, and this is the only sensible answer that we could come up with, was the only way you could commit adultery was to sleep with somebody else's wife. If you had a girlfriend, she was just considered somebody you had sexual relations with, and nobody complained about it. The only complaint they had against Solomon and his 700 wives and 300 concubines were a whole lot of them were marriages to make peace. It's not like he really loved them or slept with them. It was more like a business deal.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't like, oh.
They were like,
see, LL Cool J would have been singing all that. Solomon, what? Tina got a big old butt, so you leaving her? And then this one got it, you know. So you see what I'm saying? It wasn't that kind of deal. Solomon got married, rather than fighting with his neighbors, he married their daughter. Now, you're not going to attack me if I got your daughter and your grandkids over here. And plus, it was all strategic. You know, how could one man have 700 wives and 300 girlfriends? That's 1,000 different women for one man. But what did happen was, in an attempt to please them, he went straight. They didn't take him straight downhill. He went downhill. But it all worked out for our good, because when Solomon got old, that's when he wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. He wrote Song of Solomon when he was out chasing women. Okay, he understood what romance was all about. But then in his older days, we get Ecclesiastes and we get Proverbs, and you can tell that being the richest man on earth, smartest man on earth, he learned a whole lot. Because if you read Ecclesiastes, he went at it and he went at it. He partied harder than probably anybody ever will. And he found it was empty, vapid, void, vanity.
That's the knowledge.
Yeah.
All right.
So as far as marriage goes,
that idea.
In the Muslim religion, you can marry as many women as you can afford. If you can afford to have 10 wives, then you have 10 wives. But you can't sleep with another man's wife. So I don't know if it ever came up in Bible class, like, guy over there got 10 wives. Is that the way we roll with the Lord? Nobody ever even asked the question. And as you can see, in Matthew 19 is where Jesus addressed the question of marriage and divorce, and he didn't even mention it. The only person who got at somebody was John the Baptist. And why? He got after Herod because Herod married his brother Philip's wife, but Philip wasn't dead. Herod already had other wives. But John the Baptist wasn't saying nothing about that. He only got at him about marrying another man's wife before he died. Because as far as God is concerned, a woman is not free, or a man is not free from their spouse unless the other one dies. That's why the Lord said, till death do us part.
Amen.
So he don't he don't see it like that.
Okay.
All right.
So if you're planning on going to get you about 50 more wives, you might want to check that out with your current one.
Death will do us part.
So back then, they really didn't have laws. So basically, when you slept with someone, it made that relationship concentrated.
Well, he addressed that. The Lord addressed, if you're going to be having sex with somebody, you marry them. Now, some men would sleep with the women. Remember when we was reading in Deuteronomy? They would sleep with the women and then run out and say, she wasn't no virgin. She wasn't no virgin. I ain't marrying her. But it turns out she was a virgin. And he was just trying to
avoid
get the milk without buying the cow. You know, that's what he was trying to do, and claim she wasn't no virgin. She's scandalous. You know, that's like they do on Maury Probus. It wasn't no different. She was sleeping with everybody in the tribe. She was sleeping with everybody. I heard she was over there with the Moabite clan people. You know, they got her pregnant, and then she's going to blame it on me. She wasn't no virgin. She was hanging out everywhere. They was doing the same thing then they do on Maury Povich today. Hey, my baby, she was sleeping with everybody in the neighborhood. So the Lord felt like if you can get into bed with her, marry her. And he showed us that from the beginning. Adam and Eve did not get in a bed together till they got married. And God married them. He performed that marriage. And then Adam and Eve knew each other that way. And then they started having kids. Long before they had Cain and Abel. They had a whole bunch of kids before they had Cain and Abel. They came along later.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, a lot of people think they were the first two, but remember what happened in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain got banished and Cain found a wife? So if Adam and Eve were the first two, where Cain's wife come from?
Right, how can we get a wife, right.
That's why people have this alternative theology concerning the book of Genesis, and there was one Eve in chapter 1, and then there was one Lilith in chapter 2, and so to answer that question, they come up with that because they swear that Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's first two children, but they were not. They had a ton of brothers and sisters before they were born. Cain went to the land of Nod, and Cain got himself a wife. You can read it right there. And so if Adam and Eve only had two kids, where'd a wife come from? Where they waited on a little sister to grow up and married her?
Watch out there,
no. No, it didn't happen. But the Bible says he went somewhere and he got a wife, and then he started having kids and building his own family line. You read Genesis chapter 4. It's clear.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Again.
Again, I thank you for that, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You two old beaties, stop worrying about all them wives and let's get to the next question.
Low, ain't no sister wives coming up in here.
I know that's right.
No.
Wait a minute. He said.
Well, moving right along. Number 8. Who were the sons of Solomon, and were they kings?
Number 8. Go ahead.
Chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, I had.
10 to 14.
Okay, 10 to 14. Let me take one off there. 10 to 14. Okay. The descendants of Solomon. The descendant of Solomon was Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jeram, Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, and Josiah. Where are we going to 14? That's it.
Take a gander at the footnotes 3:10 through 14. Read that for me.
Oh, okay, because you said take a gander, I was looking at it.
Okay, many of Solomon's descendants ruled the nation of Judah. For Rehoboam's story and profile, see Chronicles 2:10. Through 12, page 901 for Jehoshaphat's story and profile. See Chronicles 17 through 20, Uzziah's story and profile are found in 2 Chronicles 26. Hezekiah's story and profile are in 2 Kings 18 through 20. And for Josiah's story, 2 Kings 22 through 23. His profile is in 2 Kings 23. Yeah, his profile is in 2 Kings 23. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right.
The 15 comes in. He had 15 sons.
Pardon?
I counted 15 sons. When you said 15, he did have 15 sons. Do you understand?
Okay.
Verse. Yep. 14 ends it, but he did have 15 sons.
Oh, okay.
And none were king, right? None of them were king.
Yeah, 15 sons, right.
End of the question says, were they king? Were they kings?
Right. No.
But now, look at verse 16.
That's another person.
He says the successors of what is that?
That's the sons of Josiah.
But the question was, were the sons of Solomon and were they kings?
No.
So if my man was a successor, he was a successor to what?
But he wasn't Solomon's son.
Yeah, he's one of the descendants of Solomon.
They were descendants, but they didn't say they was his son. Could have been his cousin.
Okay, Professor Welch. I mean, Dr. Welch.
No, I'm just saying. I don't know.
Okay, I'm with you. I mean, I ain't going to make a dispute about it. Okay,
you know,
next question is.
Just because you're my descendant don't mean that you have to be my child.
But it says many of Solomon's descendants rule the nation of Judah. So if they ruled, they had to be king.
Oh.
Okay.
Where
so
you
let's back
that?
It up.
Where
that's
is that?
In the footnotes that Brother Eric read, 10 through 14.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it, darling.
Which line is that?
But see, it, down in the look down in the footnotes, the first sentence in chapter 3:10-14.
Okay.
And it ruled,
I can't see anything. I got my eyes closed.
Many of Solomon's descendants ruled the nation of Judah.
Right. I do think that Jehoshaphat was a,
yes,
was a king.
I'll tell you what you can do then. You can look at some, each one of us can find.
So,
oh.
Yeah.
And then you see him mentioning the king.
Yeah. So the footnotes say they ruled, and they're mentioned in the book of Kings. So you win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Moving
what
right
did
along.
What would you say, Loretta?
Huh?
What'd you say?
I said that footnotes say that they ruled and they're mentioned in the book of Kings. So therefore, they had to have been, some of them have had to have been kings.
Yeah.
Can I get amen on that then?
Yes.
Amen.
Well,
so the answer was yes, they was kings, some of his sons.
Yeah.
Out of the 15
yes.
of them.
Yeah, some of them, yes.
Was kings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Number 9. Thank you, family.
Yes, yes.
How did Jabaz get his name and what was his request?
Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10.
All right, Reese, take the floor on that one.
There was a man named Jabaz, who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabaz because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you will bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted his request.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Jabaz.
Number 10. Who were the pottery makers and who did their work for?
Mm-hmm.
And who did they work for? Excuse me.
I have 4:22 22 through 23.
All right.
It says, Jochim, the men of Kazim, and Joab and Sarah, who ruled over Moab, and Jeshubai, Liam, I don't know. These names all come from ancient records. They were the pottery makers who lived in Nicaea. And they lived there and they worked for the king. Amen.
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 Any comments on what we've covered so far in these questions?
No, because we can't remember. We can't even do the name. I can't remember.
Why? I was lost. I had to find my way.
Right. We had to feel through this one. I told you I had my eyes closed.
Number 11, the leaders of Simeon, what did they do to Ham's family?
Now, for that one, I had 438 through 43.
Okay. Who was Ham?
I did too. 38 to 43.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Said, these were the names. The Lord, here we go. These were the names of some of the leaders of Simeon's wealthy clan. Their families grew and they traveled to the region of Gera, in the east part of the valley, seeking pasture land for their flocks. They found lush pasture. The land was patient, quiet, and peaceful. Some of Ham's descendants had been living in that region, but during the reign of King Hezekiah of Judah, these leaders of Simeon invaded the region and completely destroyed the homes of the descendants of Ham and of the Meunites.
Mm-hmm.
No trace of them remained today. They killed everyone who lived there and took the land for themselves because they wanted it good pasture land for their flock. 500 of these invaders from the tribe of Simeon went to Mount Seir, led by Pelatiah, Neariah, Raphael. Lord, here we go.
They was twins.
Yeah, they was triplets, look like. And Uziel, all sons of Ishi, Lord, they destroyed the few Amalekites who had survived, and they have lived there ever since.
Amen.
Oh, you know, I'm telling you, I hope that whoever listening out there, if you don't open up this Bible and read, you won't know what we're going through. Trying to
Here's the question. They talk about Ham. Who was Ham?
Ham was the son of... You know what? Stop.
Anybody else know who was Ham? Who are they talking about when they say to Ham?
That was Noah's baby boy.
Yeah, that was Noah's baby.
Who answered that? Was that Pastor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, y'all didn't let me. Y'all didn't hear me.
Oh,
after we heard you after the fact.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Are you trying to take
I thought
credit,
we was on the same team, Reese.
We are.
All righty. We're having such a good fun, guys. Number 12. Who are the sons of Levi? Amram and Aaron.
Chapter... Wait a minute. Yeah, chapter 5, I guess this is 1 through 4. Wait a minute. Is this what I got? Let me make sure. Who did
I
you?
Had 6, 1 to 3.
6, 1, yeah. Okay, I got the wrong one.
Okay.
I got a 6. Because I wrote over the number.
Okay.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You're right.
Go
That's
ahead,
what I have that. I have 1 through 4, though. Okay.
I got 1 through 3.
I saw
go ahead,
that
Mother.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Mother.
That's
you
okay.
Got
I'll go with that.
Okay, 6, 1 to 3.
Hmm?
The sons of Levi were Tishon, Kohath, and Merari. The descendants of Kohath included Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Azel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar.
Eleazar. Mm-hmm.
Did I miss one?
And.
think I did three, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mother, would you care to read the footnotes in 6:3?
The people listed here played major roles in the drama of the Exodus. Aaron's story is found in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. His profile is found in Exodus 32, page 191. Moses was one of the greatest prophets and leaders in Israel's history. His story is found in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. His profile is found in Exodus 14, page 155. The story of Miriam, Moses, and Aaron's sister is found in Exodus chapter 2, 15 chapters, 20th verse, 21, and Numbers 12, 20, and 1 verse. Her profile is found in Numbers 13, page 293. Nadab and Abihu were killed for disobeying God. Leviticus 10. Eleazar became Israel's high priest after Aaron. Numbers 20, chapter, verses 24-28. Ithamar played an important role in organizing the worship service of the tabernacle. Numbers chapter 4, 28-33, chapter 7 and 8.
Okay. Thank you, Mother. Everybody that's listening out there in Block Talk Radio, if you get a chance, go back and read these books of the Old Testament where all these people that were mentioned as far as descendants of Levi. Read about them, see what they did, and how they pleased God and how they didn't please God.
Well, that's two people.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving right along. Thank you, Mother, for everything there. Okay. Number 13. Who were the 44,760 warriors? And who was the war again?
Okay. Chapter 5:18-20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Reese. You got the floor.
There were 44,760 capable warriors in the armies of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They were all skilled in combat and armed with shields, swords, and bows. They waged a war against the Haggites, the Jurites, the Nephirites, and the Nodabites. They cried out to God during the battle, and he answered their prayer because they trusted in him. So the Haggites and all their allies were defeated.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And Reese, would you read the footnotes in 5:18-22?
Can Loretta Lee read them for me? I'm on my tablet.
Yes, ma'am. She certainly can.
Okay, the armies of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh succeeded in battle because they trusted God. Although they had the instinct and the skill as soldiers, they prayed and sought God's direction. The natural and developed abilities God gives us are meant to be used for him, but they should never replace our dependence on him. We trust in our own cleverness, skill, and strength rather than in God. We open the door for pride. We're facing difficult situations. Seek God's purpose and excellent guidance and strength. Psalm 27 says, some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Amen.
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 Thank you for that.
Uh-huh. Y'all know so many times we'll try to make it happen for us. And when we, if we just let God do it in his time, it always work out, you know. Because I'm a good thing. I'm good at that, though. So, you know, I
think we all are good at that.
You know, trying to make something happen, for myself.
Self.
Oh, yeah. We all do that.
Yeah, but, you know, the scripture tells us to be still and know that I am God.
Right.
Everybody quiet out there. I know somebody else can move that along and everything.
What's that?
About how the armies of Reuben and Gad, even though they were skilled in everything, and what they did, they always asked God to show them the way. And what we were saying is that we all get besides ourselves that we try to push and do things on our own, and then when a monkey wrench is thrown in there, then, you know, we know that we think we know what we're doing, but God knows our thoughts, our heart of doing things. But when we do that, pride gets in the way. Because I caught myself sometimes, you know, that I know we're supposed to mind our own business and work with our hands, and all of a sudden things start going good and going the flow and everything, I catch myself saying, well, this is what I did, this is what I did, and Loretta pulls my coattail sometimes, because I do get a little cocky when I'm at the job, you know, because, you know, I do try to do my best to work for God, but then, you know, it gets to the point to where, okay, everything is rolling smooth, even now on a bad day, but the thing is that we never should get ourselves to the point to where, okay, I'm all that in a bag of chips when everything comes from God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We read it every Saturday and Sunday. We read that every, don't make yourself be thank you more than what you are.
Right. But I think to stay humble like that comes with a lot of exercise. You constantly got to keep your awareness up. And that's
right.
A constant work to just stay that humble. Because with me, in and out of words so many years, but each time I get back and dive in and say I'm going to do it, I find myself becoming a little more humble than I was. But I ain't going to say I was always humble. And I'm always humble. But I think over the period of time that you stay conscious of it, you become more better with it. And it feeds over to all other areas.
Yeah.
Sometimes they had in the past stuck in their memory. They remember when they had that great victory at Jericho and then got their behind all the way up on their shoulders and went to Ai and got toe up. It was because they didn't ask God nothing. And, you know, every time they got into something without asking God, when those Gibeonites roamed up on them talking about, we come from a way, way far, far, far away country, and we come to make peace with you. And the Bible says they did not inquire of the Lord. And this was, again, under Joshua. And then it turned out the Gibeonites live around the corner. And they just had heard Israel was trashing everybody, and they didn't want to get trashed, so they came over there and tricked them into making a deal with them not to, you know, to let them be their vassals. And then when Joshua and them found out they lived around the corner, they couldn't do nothing. Why? Because they had sworn an oath before the Lord that they would have peace with them. And God had told them not to have peace with these people, but because of the oath, they had to. So doing things without asking God, we say it all the time, in all your ways, acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. But sometimes we feel like, well, the Lord, I don't need the Lord in this way. I don't need the Lord in that way. And then things get all out of control, and then we, like Peter, Lord, save me. But good thing, he'll come and save us.
You work all the other stuff out, but I'm going to handle this one, Lord.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I think the reason why that we try to do things on our own, I think some people think that do we actually feel that we ask God too much, or how big does it have to be, or how small it has to be? I think that we all go through that in our minds and everything. They say, well, it's like, okay, well, I know God wakes me up in the morning and everything like that. Well, I've been trained, or I know how to do this and everything, so I don't need to pray about it. I know how to do it and everything like that. But sometimes just knowing how to do it in life and everything, and we know nothing is perfect, there can always be a monkey wrench thrown in there and see how you deal with that situation that comes down.
Yeah.
You have to be careful with that, for because you never know how you're going to get it. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Kat.
The more you spend time with the Comforter, he will convict you. You can say right. God, but that's why that Holy Spirit, that Comforter, even though you do it, you'd be like, I really didn't consult with him on this. And you might consult with him as you win it, but you ain't consult with him before you started. But before you started, the Comforter pricks you anyway. And that's,
the Lord
you
says,
know, the purpose of the Comforter.
He says, I'll bless whatever you put your hands to. So whatever you get ready to do with your hands or say with your mouth, acknowledge him. See, we don't know, you know, I work on cars and been working on them for years. I don't do it professionally or for hire, but I do work on them. But I never, ever start working on them without talking to him first. That'll save you in buying a whole bunch of wrong parts and spending 3 days fixing something that'd take a half hour to fix. You know, when you don't consult him, you'll get to the right place. It'll just take you longer to get there.
That's all.
Yep.
What was that little plug? I don't do it. I'm not for hire. You thought I'm going to ask you to do my break since I need break?
No, because, see, Jesus won't let me work on cars no more. And every time I mention that I know how to work on them, I get emails, people asking me stuff. And he will not let me go back into that at all, because I tend to start businesses. And he just won't let me. If I won't do it all the way, he ain't going to let me do it. So, plus, he went through a whole lot to get me
out of it.
He took me back in 1992. He took me out of it and put me in the lawn care, something I ain't know nothing about, and did that for 25 years. So cars, you know, he won't let me get into it because I'll go all in, and the next thing you know, I ain't got no time for Bible class. I ain't got no time for nothing else. I'm building another race car. I'm buying another trailer. I'm going to Lapeer because Mile and Dragway closed this year. So, you know, it'll turn into that.
Yeah. Okay, well, that means I can't get my
money in that nowadays. I mean, you can get $400 just for doing four-wheel brake job. Okay, and that's unbelievable. When I was doing it, it was $59 a tire, and now it's $400.
My man told me for the back, $250 just for the back brakes.
You see what I'm talking about? I'd be like,
right.
Jesus, are you sure we don't need to get back into that?
Yes.
But no, he won't let me do it. When the Lord says, I, the Lord, am jealous, oh, God, he meant what he said. He want me to be Pastor O, and that is it. You see, he want me to be the FedEx man, the UPS man, DHL man, Jesus, like the Amazon man. Jesus is like, no, tell her you got a job. You passed the O.
I have a question, and it's concerning this, the topic we on with reading the Book of Chronicles. It seems to me that it should have been before a couple books. Is it out of place, or is it just a recap of what's been going on?
No, Chronicles is God. See, when we ended Kings, we came all the way to the end of Israel in captivity. Now they're
right.
going to spend 70 years in Babylon, and they'll come out and be under three prophets again. Okay, the last three prophets of the Old Testament, those three prophets will prophesy to them again. What is it, Haggai, Zephaniah, and Malachi? But they're going to start clowning all over again. And so God's going to cut them off. Okay, and then a new thing won't happen, a thing you can see, until John the Baptist comes and announces his ministry and that the Messiah is here. Okay? So Chronicles then encompasses the whole Old Testament. And God is bringing out details that we didn't get anywhere else. And he's reminding us of how we got from Genesis to here. And the reason he does this is because God don't just want us to read the Bible. He wants us to remember. He wants us to remember what he said.
Okay.
And to have it, you should have the whole Old Testament in your head. If the Lord asked you right now, tell me the story from Genesis to where we are right now, you should be able to tell him. You just went through it. You should be able to tell him what happens. If when you get really close with the Lord, you'll be able to tell him what's in chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 50 of Genesis. If somebody says something that's in Genesis, you should know what chapter that's in.
Right.
That's why the writers of the Bibles in the 1500s put the Bible into chapters and verses. Rather than having people remember a whole letter, they compartmentalized it, started putting in topical subjects, you know, Jesus speaks to people, that kind of stuff. All of that was an effort. Footnotes, those came out. Actually, King James did not want footnotes in the King James Bible. So most original King James Bible, a real original one, will have the 14 books of the Apocrypha in it. But if you got a King James Bible after 1881 or 85, then you have a King James Bible with no footnotes, none at all, just the words. He did not want any of that in there because everybody who was writing Bibles, as far as he was concerned, was maybe putting their own interpretation of things in there. And to show you why he didn't want it, one writer actually said in the Bible, somebody got to mute up because I'm echoing. Somebody said in the Bible that the Pope was the Antichrist. Now, they were mad at Catholicism because of 1,200 years of autocracy and lies. But the Pope can't be the Antichrist because when you read 2 Thessalonians 2, clearly he's going to declare himself God and will raise himself up above everything that is called God. So the Pope worships Jesus Christ. They got a bunch of funny stuff, but they do worship Jesus, so that couldn't be it. So King James said, I don't want none of that in there. So, you know, so what God is doing is summing up. Now, what a lot of Christians miss, they don't know Christian history. And if all you know is them 66 books, then your knowledge of God stops in AD 60 or 61. From AD 61 to this present day, you have no knowledge of God, what he was doing, or how any of this today came into being. That's the important thing. It's good to know how God, birth, growth, beginning of expansion of the church, right? That's what Paul did. But it didn't end with Paul. What happened after, say, AD 100 when they were all dead? God did Chronicles all the way through history over and over again. Every time we went to a different thing, he summed it up, and then a new thing started. And you begin to learn that about him. Once he finishes a dispensation in time or an age, he sums up. This is the end of the Old Testament age, the end of the law age. And so he's summing it up. So, yeah, Chronicles
but
is there.
That's what I say. It's when I read it and went back over it, then I tried to interpret it. I'm like, okay, we've been through this, but now I'm learning Chronicle things that happened back then. You know, like I noticed David, when I read Chronicle, it's all about his blessings, the goodness and everything, you know, but that's going right into Psalm.
Like getting all of David's wives and all of David's kids and a lot of that stuff you didn't get in Kings.
Yeah, and Kings.
But Chronicles
going to
bring out when David was running around alone, we're going to read where God brought 605,000 people to his side, rallied to his side. So we're going to learn a lot. And after we get through here, then we're going to learn some other stuff that has already happened. But it's a reiteration. Like, you get a chronological Bible, Nehemiah would be the last book of the Old Testament, not Malachi. Malachi prophesied during the post-exilic period when they came out of exile. So Nehemiah is after that because he's under the Medo-Persian Empire. And we close with what? Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. And he's not even dead yet. So there's a long way to go. But we get some glimpses into these empires when we get into Nehemiah, when we get into Esther, when we get into Psalms, stuff, books like that. They call them the writings, but when we get into those books. So, yeah, it's here, and it is super important. Because the Lord, like, wants you to really know. He don't want you to just read it. He wants you to remember. God wants you to be able to stand on any street corner, anywhere, at any time, without a Bible in your hand. And when people talk to you, your mind goes right to the scripture that will answer their question. Just like Jesus. Just like Paul. Just like any other servant of the Lord. So there we go.
Amen.
That's my 2 seconds.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor, again.
Thanks, Professor. That was a college course. I'm serious. That makes you want more and more and more.
Amen, my brother. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Family, we got 2 more questions, and we're all finished for this evening. Number 14, what clan is Hermon from, his job, and how far his genealogy goes back?
That's number 6, 31 through, and it says, David assigned to Solomon to lead the music at the house of the Lord after the ark was placed there. They ministered with music at the tabernacle until Solomon built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. They carried out their work following all the regulations handed down to them, and these are the men who served along with their sons. Hermon, the musician, was from the clan of Korah. His genealogy was traced back to Joel, Samuel, Elkanah, Jeroham, Eliel, Torah, Zoph, Elkanah, Mahath, Masa, Elkanah, Joel, Azariah, Zephaniah, Tahar, Asir, Abiathar, Korah, Issar, Kohath, Levi, and Israel. And then in the footnote 631 says, David did much to bring music into worship. He established song leaders and choirs to perform regularly at the temple, chapter 25. As a young man, David was hired to play the harp for King Saul on 1 Samuel 16, 15, 20. He also wrote many of the songs found in the book of Psalms. And then 31FF says, the builders and craftsmen had completed the temple, and the priests and Levites had been given their responsibility for taking care of it. Then it was time for another group of people, the musicians, to exercise their talents for God. Some of those who serve with music are recorded here. You don't have to be an ordained minister to have an important place in the body of believers. Builders, craftsmen, worship assistants, choir members, and song leaders all have significant contributions to make, and God has given you a unique combination of talents. Use them to serve and honor him. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Kathy. Last question of the night. What territory and towns were given to the Levites, and who were the sons of Samuel?
And cricket.
654 through 64.
I am 54 through 65, but yeah, go ahead,
Kat. Mm-hmm. It says, record of the towns and territory assigned by means of sacred lots to the descendants of Aaron, who were from the clan of Kohath. The territory included Hebron and its surrounding pasture lands in Judah, with the fields and outlying areas and belonging to the city were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So the descendants of Aaron were given the following towns, each with its pasture lands: Hebron, a city of refuge; Lot, Libna; Jatir; Eshtemoah; Holon; Debir; Ain; Judah, and Beth Shemesh, and from the territory of Benjamin, they were given Gibeon, Geba, Elimeth, and Naphtali, each with its pasture land. So 13 towns were given to the descendants of Aaron. The remaining descendants of Kohath received 10 towns from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh by means of sacred lots. The descendants of Gershon received by sacred lots 13 towns from the territories of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and from the Bashan area of Manasseh east of the Jordan. The descendants of Merari received by sacred lots 12 towns from the territories of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the people of Israel assigned all these towns and pasture lands to the Levites. The towns in the territories of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin mentioned above were assigned to them by means of sacred lots. Amen.
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 Hey, man, good reading of them names.
That's fun.
It knocked them out the box.
Man. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Well,
I bet you your and Sheila was over there cracking up at us.
No, no names. You know, not Sheila. I listened to the Holy Jesus be like, what did she say his name was? I said, I don't know. It's not even how you pronounce that. But, you know, he loves it, though. He loves it. The Lord loves to see us doing this, studying. He loves that. You know, a lot of people say, how can you say the Lord loves that? Where do you get that from? You're always talking about, you always got scriptures to back up everything you say. Go with me to Malachi, if the Deacon Oliver allowed me to do this. Go with me to Malachi and listen to these words. Malachi chapter 3, and I know I'm not talking about tithes and offerings, but Malachi chapter 3, this part nobody ever reads. I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will see, you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Now, the Lord said that in Genesis chapter 3. He said there will be those who follow Satan and those who follow him. And here at the end of the Old Testament, he says it again. So the Lord listens to this class, and a scroll of remembrance is written about the names of the people in the class and how y'all sit around having fun learning his word and trying your best to apply it to his to your life and understanding if you mess it all up, you just get up and start walking again like a baby do. You ever notice when babies fall sometimes, they don't even cry. They just get back up and start going again. That's what God right. wants from us. That's what he wants from us. And so this pleases him. And even though we're not perfect in our knowledge of him, he loves this. As far as he's concerned, now think about how many people, like if you got a church with 100 people in it, you might get 15 of them that'll go to Bible class and 10 of them that'll be real serious. See, because we got people who attend this class, but they don't do the questions. They don't answer none of these questions. But they do attend the class. They hear the questions asked, and they hear the answers given. And the Lord records that. But what he's really wanting is for them to answer the questions. And he'll reward that. He's a constant rewarder. But he looks and he listens and see, a pastor might want the Lord to see every one of his members seriously trying to get to know him. And when they mess it all up, recognizing you don't need, like Maurice was saying about conviction from the Holy Spirit. If the word is God is not in you, you can't be convicted because you don't even know. Romans chapter 8, me and the Lord was over there the other day. You don't even know. But when you, okay, when you know what God said and you go opposite of what God said, well, then you know it because you know God said don't lie. You know you just lied. You ask God to forgive you. And the only reason you ask God to forgive you is because you know God is real. And you know the Lord has said when we confess our sins, he'll forgive and he'll cleanse. He recognizes that as obedience to his word, even though you're only being obedient and asking forgiveness because you know you sinned against him. But you wouldn't know you sinned against him. One time, I was so impressed. This person was really messed up about sin that they committed. And apparently it was kind of habitual. And they thought, I ain't going to even ask God to forgive me no more. But they was messed up about it enough to ask me about it. And the Lord just laughed. And I'm like, Jesus, why are you laughing? These people over here are serious. But he said, tell them, if they didn't love me a whole lot, they wouldn't be messed up about it at all. But the reason they're messed up is because they know I'm real and they know they've sinned. And I got a whole lot out of that. I learned, you know, that if a person really loves God when they sin, oh, Lord have mercy. It take the Lord to bring them out of the, you know, because he won't condemn you, but he will convict you, only to let you know, Peter, you're sinking. You might want to say, Lord, save me. That's the only reason. But again,
okay.
He listens and he watched the Lord looking at right at this class. He's everywhere present at once. So he's looking right at it. He knows who's paying attention. He knows who ain't. He knows who did the questions. He knows who didn't. He knows who didn't even read it, even during the when it was reading to us. They didn't even listen to that. He knows that. But he looks at people where they are, and he constantly works until we go home to be with him to bring us where he wants us. He won't get mad at us. What he'll wonder is why do we keep letting Satan trick us out of God blessing us? And why do we keep on asking God to bless us, and then God tell us, open up your Bible. You're already blessed, but we won't open up the Bible because we're busy, we're sleepy, we ain't got no time, whatever the excuse is. That hurts God because he knows the devil is doing his best to trick you out of what God is trying to give you. And if you won't take it, then all you can do is set up another opportunity to try to give it to you. You know how in school you fail one grade? They put you right back in. Okay? And you just keep on going until you pass. But you'll get the test again and again and again, no matter how many times you fail. He won't give up on you. But he's longing for that day. Like Jesus said, the Father longs. He desires to be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Amen.
Not a Christian facade. We look like a Christian, but we don't do. If we went to court and evidence, we had to produce evidence that we were Christians, what evidence would we produce? Court is sitting there with a list of things that Jesus said Christians do. Jesus says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Do you go to Bible class? Jesus says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is a custom, practice, habit of some of you. Do you go to church? Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together in good measure into your... Do you give?
Okay.
So he... It's up to you. And when Jesus sees that you're not doing that stuff, he just keeps trying to work it around, work some kind of way to get you to do it. Why? Because you need the blessing he's offering. You just don't know it. You need the word he's trying to give you. You just don't. You're praying to him about it, and he sends you the word, but you won't do it.
Oh, yes, I do.
If Jesus told... Who was that? That little girl, and I'm going to stop preaching. That little girl that had to deal with Naaman, the Syrian, the rich man, the famous man, you know, renowned man. But he was told to, that little girl told him, look, go ahead on over there, get that prophet Elisha, and Elisha said, go dip in that, over there in the nasty Jordan River, muddy, nasty, got green stuff in it, seven times, and you'll be healed. And he got mad.
Right.
And he was going to be healed of his leprosy. But God told him a way to do it, and he got mad. And the Lord told us to study my word to show yourself approved unto me. And we get mad, and we won't do it. And so we don't show ourselves approved unto him. So you can fake like you love God. But remember, we're not dealing with human beings, y'all. When I was going drag racing, and I got happy and asked Jesus, why am I doing this? You know, we so close. Why do I do you like this? He said, because you don't love me like you're supposed to. You're talking about a party emptying out. You're talking about the music cutting off, the needle scratched all the way across the record. You know, like, what you say? You know, I mean, it hit me like a ton of, I cried all the way home. And he told me, you know, and he just told me the truth. I'm telling them how much I love him, how close we are. But you don't even help your pastor. You don't even teach your Sunday school. You take tithes and offerings and go drag racing. But you love me. See, when you get close to the Lord, that's the kind of stuff you hear. But I quit drag racing, didn't I? And I started going to church every Sunday, and I ain't put no more money on engine parts that did belong to him. You live and you learn.
That's true.
Okay, Ali, it's on you now. You should have threw the towel in a long time ago. You should have rung the bell.
No, don't throw the towel in. That just add to the laundry when you throw the towel in.
You should have put the turn that light on for me. You should have put the wrap it up sign on. Wrap it up, Pastor. Yeah, okay, bring it
bring
on in like my pastor to me. Hey, let me read y'all something real quick. I want you to keep my wife and myself and her family in your prayers on the homegoing of her aunt, Lucille Smith. Her services
wow.
will be at the OH Pie Funeral Home tomorrow at 12 noon. The family hour will be at 12 noon, and the service will be at 12:30. And due to COVID, they're only allowing so many other family members in. But you can watch it on YouTube. Just type into the search box Lucille Smith, or just type in OH Pie and then search there for Lucille Smith, and you can watch it right there on YouTube if you want to. And, of course,
okay.
I was asked by the family to be the one to do the eulogy, so I'm double vaccinated, and Jesus then put me back to work. You know, I should have joined them people who were saying, I'm waiting. But anyway, we're back to work. So anyway, pray for my wife. Pray for the family. And if you get a chance tomorrow, 12 noon, that's the family hour, 12:30 is the service. Again, on YouTube, Lucille Smith, OH5 Funeral Home. Pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm good.
All right. All right.
All right. Anyway, we're going to end with prayer. I want to thank everybody for contributing and their answers and their theology thoughts and feelings as far as this, how this class was ran today and everything. And I'd like to go ahead and wrap it on up, and we'll see you
all right.
this time next week. Okay. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to come over us and having a good time, understanding the scriptures that were read, answering the questions with a little bit of humor. But we were really serious in our hearts of how we really are. No different from how they are in the past, Father. We just ask that you strengthen us every day, that we acknowledge you, your word, and to do the things that is pleasing in your eyesight, Father. And Father, we like again give our sympathy and deep prayers to First Lady's family, and we hope that they find comfort. In the name of your Son Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Professor.
Amen.
Well, thank you, sir.
Good class, good class, good class.
Yes.
Good work.
Yes.
All of y'all
all right,
who are listening.
Go ahead.
All right. All of y'all who are listening and you don't do these questions and things, don't be insulted. You in the class. Amen. And Jesus is going to work with you just like he's going to work with you on your level. Okay?
Amen.
Just like he's working with everybody else. Wherever they are, he is the one. He'll get it done. He won't give up on you. But he's waiting to see you one day take them questions, put them on that table, open up that Bible, and answer them. An amazing thing will happen when you do that. You'll only get it if you do that. The Holy Spirit want to do something for you that you're not getting. I mean, while you're just listening, that's good. But then imagine being one-on-one with the Holy Spirit and not hearing any of us, but hearing God himself speak to you and explain the scriptures to you. The reason they come with them footnotes is because they read them footnotes before they got to class, and the Holy Spirit led them to that. So that's what you want to get into. Amen?
All right. Amen.
Amen.
All minds clear? Wait a minute. Okay. Jonathan is up Saturday.
Okay.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. I was looking for Eric's song. There you go. See y'all later.
All right.
DJ.
Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
You're my provider.
in the way. You keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me.
Every day.
Every day.
Fight on my back.
Fight on my back.
You say the day. Beside me, hold my hand in a valley. Lost a night found me. I don't know where I would be. Don't know who I would be. Yeah, yeah. Crazy when I need him, he's a rider. All my haters, you know he'd be fine.